stopping Iran's nuclear program.
It's a crucial speech for Prime Minister Netanyahu.
Dividing Congress and the White House.
It's a political theater. The podium is being sold.
Hillary Clinton's emails as Secretary of State.
That may be a violation of federal law.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. Never has so much been written about a speech that hasn't been given. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu said that yesterday, and a few hours from now, he'll deliver a speech to Congress about Iran, its nuclear intentions, and U.S. efforts to strike a deal.
The purpose of my address to Congress is to speak up about a potential deal with Iran that could threaten the survival of Israel.
I'm Stephen Portnoy on Capitol Hill, where a few dozen Democrats won't attend Netanyahu's speech. Many are members of the Congressional Black Caucus, who consider the speech a personal slight against President Obama. But a handful of the boycotters are Jews, like Steve Cohen of Tennessee.
It's a political theater.
Cohen, who describes himself as a strong supporter of Israel, issues a warning to the prime minister.
Don't bite the hand that feeds you.
New York Democrat Steve Israel says he's angry with House Speaker John Boehner for trying to, in his words, make Israel a political football.
But I will not allow his strategy to create any daylight between me and the state of Israel. I'll be in my seat. I'll be listening to the prime minister.
Vice President Biden won't be seated behind the speaker's rostrum. He's in Guatemala. But it seems most congressional Democrats will attend the speech.
This is Pam Coulter at the White House. President Obama is downplaying the rift over Netanyahu's speech opposing a nuclear deal with Iran, telling Reuters it won't be permanently destructive to U.S.-Israeli ties.
It's understandable why Israel is very concerned about Iran. We are too.
He said Tehran must agree to a verifiable freeze on its nuclear program for at least 10 years, adding such a deal is better at making sure Iran doesn't get a nuclear weapon than military action.
I'm Dan Raviv. The nuclear talks that Netanyahu thinks could produce a dangerous deal are continuing today in Switzerland. Secretary of State John Kerry is there, warning that if the Netanyahu speech reveals details of the negotiations, that could harm the chance of success. U.S. officials say Iran is making unacceptable demands, such as an immediate end to Western sanctions.
New questions are swirling around Hillary Clinton's emails when she was Secretary of State. CBS's Margaret Brennan says she might have violated federal rules that officials' correspondence be retained for records.
The State Department says that Hillary Clinton emailed exclusively from a personal account when she was Secretary of State and did not routinely hand over records to the government. Now, it isn't clear why this account was created, but it was discovered after the State Department requested records from former secretaries for historic documentation. According to the New York Times, Clinton's aides sorted through her account and handed over 55,000 pages of emails.
Now overseas, there's new information this morning about the ISIS executioner known as Jihadi John. Live to CBS's Vicky Barker.
He looked at me and he said,
this scratchy recording from 2009 is Mohammed Amwazi describing how an MI5 agent peppered him with questions about the 9/11 attacks, which Amwazi said he condemned.
And then so after all of this, he came back and he looked at me and he said, I still believe that you're going to Somalia to train.
It was released by a campaigning group which says it proves Amwazi was radicalized by that mistrust. But it may instead be proof that British intelligence was aware back then that the man seen in several ISIS execution videos was already committed to violent jihad. Steve?
A man on the FBI's most wanted terrorist list is in custody in Somalia. CBS News security analyst Juan Zarate says he's a former cab driver from Virginia.
They were worried that not only did you have somebody who was fluent in English as well as Arabic and Somali, but that he would be able to recruit individuals from the U.S. and possibly uses knowledge of the area to the benefit of a terrorist plot.
After final legal moves, the Boston Marathon bomb jury will be seated today, opening statements expected tomorrow. In Cleveland, an uproar after the city's lawyers suggested in court papers that the 12-year-old boy with a pellet gun who was shot and killed by police last year died as the result of his own actions. Mayor Frank Jackson.
We are apologizing today for our poor use of words and our insensitivity in the use of those words.
The papers were a response to a federal lawsuit filed on behalf of Tamir Rice's family. The Supreme Court considers the hotel guest list in a case from California today. Here's CBS's Barry Bagnato.
The Supreme Court is examining a Los Angeles law that gives police instant access to detailed hotel guest information without the need for a search warrant. A lower court threw out the law, saying it violated Fourth Amendment protections against unreasonable searches and seizures. Law enforcement argues quick access can be vital to stop gambling or prostitution, for instance, or after a terrorist attack.
In Moscow, CBS's Clarissa Ward is covering the funeral of a key government opponent.
They waited for hours in the bitter cold for a chance to pay their respects to slain opposition leader Boris Nemtsov. There were dignitaries and ordinary people, all shocked that such a well-known politician could be murdered in cold blood just steps away from the Kremlin. Some here believe they know exactly who was responsible.
It's our president, Vladimir Putin.
You believe President Putin is responsible for his death?
Absolutely, I'm pretty sure.
27-year-old writer Natalie did not agree.
I think that's not a government. I think that's a provocation.
Now to Los Angeles. The Narbonne High School girls basketball team made a point about breast cancer awareness. And CBS's Steve Futterman says it's cost them a chance at the city title.
The players altered their uniforms, putting pink trim around the numbers. They wore the uniforms in the semifinal game that they won. But the uniform change was a violation of rules, resulting in a forfeit. Letitia Smith is a member of the Narbonne High team.
To be stripped of our, you know, our rights because we believe in something is totally just devastating.
The school is now appealing. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
A few months ago, the 11-year-old daughter of pro hockey player Jordan Leopold, who lives in Minnesota, sent a handwritten letter to the NHL's Minnesota Wild begging the team to swing a trade for her dad, a defenseman for the Columbus Blue Jackets. It ended up online and got some attention. Yesterday, at the league's trade deadline, Leopold was shipped to Minnesota. The Columbus GM said the letter was touching and there is a human side to pro sports. More snow today for the upper Midwest and Northeast. CBS's Peter King has our little taste of spring.
The boys of summer playing catch. The sound is like music for baseball fans like Pete Jankowski of Milwaukee.
It's great to be the green grass and baseball playing. It's great.
Some teams have already played exhibitions against colleges, but the first major league teams to face each other play today in Arizona and here in Florida. For the fans, it means not just sunshine, but getting acquainted. The Atlanta Braves, for example, are pretty typical with 10 new players in camp. Dozens of others in minor league camp who may wind up in major league lineups this spring, at least for a day. Peter King, CBS News, Lake Buena Vista, Florida.
Artist Nelson Shanks reveals his National Gallery portrait of Bill Clinton includes a shadow that's a reference to Monica Lewinsky's dress, a nod to the scandal that led to his impeachment. He says the portrait, which is on a rotating basis, hasn't been displayed in years. That's the roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.